Welcome to Mother's Day. Hallelujah to all of those of you who are mothers or have mothers. And I think that includes everybody. Welcome to today's teaching, which is entitled, Only a Mother's Love. Only a mother's love. There's no love quite like a mother's love. Yes? You know why I say that, right? Well, for instance, we say, look out for Mama Bear. I just heard that again this week. And anybody I've asked, have you heard the term Mama Bear? Oh, yeah, everybody knows Mama Bear. Why? Because a mother bear is fierce when it comes to the protection of her baby cubs. I mean, you don't mess with a cub. We've seen situations where people in the wild think, oh, there's a cub, oh, how cute, and they want to go up and play with it and whatever, and the cub may be totally innocent, but Mama Bear, look out. She will do whatever it takes to protect her babies. And what about human mothers, you ask? Okay, glad you asked. You know, they have a perspective of their children that no one else has. What about the young man who was accused of murder? And what was his mother's instantaneous reaction? Not my boy. My boy's a good boy. That's how she sees him. She loves him. She sees the good in him. And she's protective. And then this one really touches my heart. There's a story, a true story. It came out of one of the California wildfires a year or two ago. It's of a mama bird. And you say, oh, birds have love? Yes. This mama bird was in the midst of this fire, and there's nowhere to go. So at the base of this tree, she puts her baby there, and then she puts herself over her baby, totally covering the baby to protect him from the fire. And do you know that baby lived? The mother gave her life for her baby. Now, if that isn't love, I don't know what is. And that's the idea that, you know, we know from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. It's not that he has love. That isn't part of his package. He is love. And he took that love, and he put that love in mothers for their children, so that the mothers would love their children the same way God loves his children, with an unconditional, passionate, protective love. You know, I got to thinking that the 9-month gestation period is really the beginning of the bonding between mother and child. God picked a 9-month period. Now that takes a while, right? 9 whole months. Wow. How many minutes, seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks in 9 months? And on a day-to-day basis, then, the mother and the baby can bond. And you often see pregnant women massaging their baby bumps, as they're commonly called these days, and just loving on their babies. And like, oh, I'm pregnant. I have this wonderful baby. Oh, how special. How special. And you know, recently I had the opportunity to pray for a mother that was about to deliver her baby. And I was able to lay my hands on and pray for the baby. And do you know, right, that babies feel. They feel the touch. They feel the anointing. And that baby, whoa, got excited when I prayed for her. Is that neat? But that just shows you the love of God is so very special. So that 9-month pregnancy is a marvelous opportunity for the mother to love on and prepare her child for coming into this world. Flooding the baby with the Word of God, with praise and worship, a peaceful and loving atmosphere, frequently telling the baby, I love you, you are so special. And if they know in advance what the name of the baby is going to be, then they can speak the baby's name. So the little one gets to know, okay, mama's talking to me. Praise God. In good circumstances, like the ones I just mentioned, the child will turn out to be sweet, loving, obedient, and wanting to serve God. If, however, during that time of the pregnancy, there's turmoil and anguish and an atmosphere that's not very godly, it's going to affect that baby. And the baby could turn out to be a murderer. Who knows? Something bad. Anyway, I know of a mother that had two daughters. And the first daughter, the first pregnancy came during a time early in the marriage, and things were really great between the husband and wife, and it was all peaceful, and the mother was a Christian, and she taught the things of the Lord to her baby. And this little girl turned out to be the sweetest thing, very obedient, very loving God. But by the time of the second pregnancy, the father was into drugs, and he was trying to steal all the money that his wife made, that she's trying to put down for food and rent and necessary bills, things she has to pay. And he's trying to steal them to support his drug habit. And that was a time of turmoil. She's trying to hide the money, and sometimes he finds it, and sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes she's able to pay the bills, and sometimes she's not. She was just a wreck during those 9 months. And that baby turned out to be a wild one. Rebellious and cantankerous and disobedient. The difference between the two little girls was absolute night and day. Because the influences during that time of pregnancy, it's meant to be a time when there's love. The love of God. The love of God is so special. And that love that he puts into mothers, that's where the mothers are supposed to give their love. And this mother was doing the best that she could with her situation, but that love just wasn't coming through the way God had intended it to. Now, I also know of a great-grandmother who loves Jesus and serves Jesus and lives Jesus. And throughout all of her time as an adult, being a mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother, she has exhibited the love of God and shared that with her family. And the children all know about Jesus, and they love Jesus. And they serve Jesus, even though they're not living with Grandma. They know about Jesus. And they love visiting Great-Grandma because it's such a fun time being in the presence of the Lord. And this is the kind of thing that we, whether we individually are mothers or we're not mothers, we can still share forth that love of God. Showing forth, letting God's love shine through us as we exhibit Jesus to the world around us. And the little ones are usually the most receptive. They are so hungry to know God. It's like we know. They see that God. They see God. They hear him. They have a relationship. And that's what God wants. That's what I'm trying to get across today, is the love of God as shown through mothers is something that needs to shine forth into not only their children, But when their children's friends come over, that's another opportunity too. And perhaps some of you are like me, that I'm a spiritual mom, but not a physical mom. But I love to show forth the love of God, because His love is so wonderful. And we all need to experience that. So great. I believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7, 1 Corinthians 13, 7 in the Amplified Classic, perfectly describes the love of a mother for her children. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Wow. Some outstanding biblical examples of loving mothers include the harlot who came before King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. You may notice that the scriptures I've quoted so far may not be on the outline, so you may want to make a note of those. So once again, this is 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. You may remember this story. There were two harlots that gave birth about the same time. And in the night, the one harlot's baby died. The other mother was sleeping soundly with her baby. So the one whose baby died came over and switched the babies in the dark. And so when the mother of the living child woke up, she found next to her a dead child. And she goes, "This is not my baby." And so she went before King Solomon to say, "Hey, I want my baby back." Well, here's King Solomon. He has a decision to make, a very important decision to make. He's asked for the wisdom of God, and I truly believe that it couldn't have been exhibited any better, because he's facing this situation of she said, she said. Okay, which one is telling the truth? You know, they both say, "Oh, the baby's mine. The live baby's mine." What's he to do? Ah, here was his solution. "Okay, take the baby and let's cut the baby in half. And each mother gets half of the baby." And what did that do? That triggered the real mother to rise up and be willing to sacrifice raising her child in order that no harm would come to the baby. No, don't hurt the baby. She can have the baby. But he knew the moment she rose up, the other one said not a word. But her passion, her love, shone through her words and her actions. And King Solomon knew she is the rightful mother. And the baby was returned to the rightful mother. That love was willing to sacrifice. That's how great that love was. Let no harm come to my child. Well, speaking of King Solomon, the entire book of Proverbs is Solomon's testimony of the sayings that his mother taught him and the love and the wisdom that she passed on to him. And we're all familiar with the many wise sayings in the book of Proverbs. That's from mother to son. And we can each receive from our Father God to us, his children, through that word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, again, John 2, 1 through 11, at the marriage of Cana, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had full confidence in the calling on her son's life when she directed the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, just do it." And he had just told her, "Woman, what are you doing? This is not my time." He wasn't quite ready to go forth, but she would have none of that. "No, whatever he tells you, just do it." Okay. Fill the water pots with water. And what came out? was the best wine anyone had ever tasted. Normally, they had the best wine at the beginning of a wedding, and by the time the people were drunk, they brought out the cheap wine. But this was the end, where it was better than any that they had even purchased for this wedding. Why? Because of a mother's love. Because this mother knew he was from God, and she knew he was special, and she had seen him in all these years of his growing up, and she had seen the things that he would say and do, and she knew, and so she said, and let that love show through. That love shone through. So, as you might have recognized by the outline, I did teach a lesson of this title 8 years ago. Wow. It's part of a series called Mothers of Faith, honoring these mothers. And it was so special. Every year, the Holy Spirit would guide me to 3 mothers from the Word of God that their situation tied in with the theme that God was teaching ABC for that year. I just loved doing those. It was so exciting, and it was so beautiful to see. I think you can imagine when we had the Ark of the Mark. Anyone can think of a mother that had a baby in an ark by any chance? Moses? Moses' mother? Yeah, that was an example that year. And I just thought it was really very touching and very exciting. And if you have any interest in following through and listening to those, maybe for some of you it would be a repeat because you were here for them live, or for others it would be a first time through. Either way, these are Mother's Day teachings in our on-demand system, obviously the middle of May, whatever date Mother's Day was that year, the years from 2011 to 2016, and the website is abcchurchondemand.org. Again, ABC Church On Demand, all run together, .org. Now we know that one day out of the 365 days in the year is considered Mother's Day. It's a day to honor our mothers. And it's wonderful that the world recognizes that. But God, in His book, wants us to honor our mothers every single day. In fact, it's a matter of blessings in life or curses and death as to how we handle honoring our mothers. Wow, that's pretty impressive, pretty amazing. We need to take note of that. So take your time on your own to study the entire outline. It's all from the Word of God, so you know it's good stuff. Meanwhile, I want to jump over to section C with some modern day examples of mothers who focused on love and faith, which caused them to make decisions and take actions that others might not even have considered. So let's take Larry's mother. Larry had moved away from home to the big city, not just to support his escalating drug habit, but at the same time, he wanted to become the biggest drug dealer in all of the northwest portion of the United States. Wow. So he was living this dark, dirty, illegal, miserable life. Yet, you would never know it if you talked to his mom. Larry's mother was a strong, born-again, spirit-filled Christian who knew and understood what God's plan was for her son. And she carried that vision in her heart and in her mouth. Heart and mouth, right? "My son is a preacher," she would say to anyone who would listen. People tried to tell her who he really was and what he was doing and how he was wasting his life away, but she would have none of it. She would not listen. She would not change her words. She would continue to affirm, "Larry is born again, Holy Spirit-filled, a mighty preacher, man of God who serves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength," quoting from Matthew 22:37. Wow. Sounded pretty powerful, and she kept saying it, and she kept saying it. And then one day, he was in a horrific accident, multi-vehicle, including at least one 18-wheeler. Several of the vehicles actually went over the side of the road and down a steep embankment, including the 18-wheeler. So when the first responders thought that they had recovered all the victims of the accident, some dead, some alive, it was now late in the day, it was getting dark, everybody was tired, and everybody wanted to go home. But this one first responder felt very strongly, I'm sure God nudged him and said, there's still somebody else unaccounted for. And so he chose to be the one to go down to the bottom of the hill. And lo and behold, he found Larry under the 18-wheeler, but miraculously still alive. I think if he had waited till the next day, that report would have been different. But God urged him. Mama's prayers, I'm sure, Mama's love reached out, and she kept him covered in prayer. And so when this first responder kept saying, no, I gotta go, I gotta check. I'm not sure. I need to be sure. That was love. The love of God reaching out to protect this man that his mama bear, was protecting with the words of her mouth. And Larry later recounted a vision that God gave him of what had happened from a spiritual standpoint. As the truck was coming down, landing at the bottom of the hill, the devil was there, a demon was there, trying to push the semi down onto Larry to kill him. But there was an angel lifting up the semi to keep him alive. And the two fought, and they battled, and the demon argued with the angel, saying, "Let go! He's mine! He's not saved, and he shall die!" And the angel responded, "But his mother says that he is saved." And the angel had the last word, and so Larry lived. After Larry was saved, he became a truck driver for 2 to 3 years, now born again, now spirit-filled, and spending the many hours of his day behind the wheel, praying in tongues, building himself up on his most holy faith, Jude 20. Larry did become a preacher and went on to found a powerful Christian ministry. There were also several times that God directed him to travel to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he would arrive at the airport going obediently, but he'd have no ticket, no reservation, no money, and yet God always saw to it and provided the means for him to arrive at his assigned destination. So Larry truly did become that preacher that his mother kept declaring, and a mighty man of God who continued to influence many for the kingdom of God. We could stop here and say, what a wonderful testimony. But let's see what the scriptures were used to put into action to make this testimony a reality. Remember, his mother had this vision in her heart and in her mouth. This is the love of God flowing through the love of a mother who loved and served God and showed forth his love. So Instead of turning a blind eye to what Larry was doing to the misdeeds of her son, she applied the eye of faith and used the word of God to put her faith into action through love. Glancing at section B on the outline where it gives definitions, Webster shows a strong affection for or attachment to a person. But I love God's description best of all because he's talking about his agape love. To love a person unconditionally, no matter what. You love. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 under C. 1 Corinthians 13, I would like to read verses 7 and 8 this time. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Well, his mother certainly had a lot of things trying to get in the way, right? But she was ever ready to believe the best of Larry. It's hopes fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Mama Bear stayed strong through the whole time and was instrumental through her prayers, through her love, for her son surviving where he should have died, could have died, but didn't, and then fulfilled the calling on his life to become a great man of God. And verse 8, love never fails, never fades out, nor becomes obsolete, nor comes to an end. Okay, Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. We've talked about heart and mouth. Larry's mother had the vision in her heart. She could see it in the spirit, and she had it in her mouth because she kept speaking it over him, speaking it over him, speaking the word of God over him. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Remember, salvation is a package of blessings and benefits bestowed on us through the love of God. It's not just one thing, it's many things that are totally what we need to walk in. And Larry's mother confessed these over him, confessed the word of God before he was saved. And that leads us to Romans 4:17, amplified, speaking the things which be not as though they are, until they are. She never gave up. She never got discouraged. At least if she did, she didn't show it. And she didn't speak discouragement. She spoke the final desire that she had for him. Mighty man of God, born again, spirit filled. Romans 4:17, amplified classic. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, appointed in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. In Mama Bear's mind, it already existed that Larry was all that God had called him to be. And she knew, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. She talked life, not death. But don't you find it interesting that Proverbs 18:21 uses death first? It doesn't say life and death are in the power of the tongue. It says death and life. Why do you think that is? Perhaps people are too used to seeing things of death and not life. Maybe that's the most common. You know, when you read ingredients on the package of an item of food or drink, it talks about the ingredients. Whatever's listed at the top, it has the most of. Whatever's at the bottom, it has a very small portion of. So, death is shown up front. Maybe God's trying to emphasize death. You can speak death. You don't want to speak death. You want to speak life. Pay attention. Think about it. Do what Larry's mom did and speak forth the word of God, and you will be speaking life and the love of God. Deuteronomy 30:19 in the Amplified, choosing life for you and your children. I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. This is the open book test. We've called it that many times. God saying, okay, there's this or this, this, and a multi-choice test, but I'm going to give you the answer. Choose life. Do it. You have to make the effort. You have to make a decision. You have to follow up with your faith action plan to choose life, that you and your descendants may live. And in so doing, Ephesians 4:29 Amplified, speaking blessing and grace. Let no foul nor polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome, nor worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. That's God's love coming through. Blessings and favor and love. Mark 11:23. Love this. You have what you say. Are you having what you want? Larry's mother, she was going to have what she wanted, and she kept saying what she wanted. She said the end result. She never repeated what was going on. She never repeated the negatives of the actions and the things that were happening in all that time of his disobedience. Not one word. It was always, my son is a mighty man of God, born again, spirit-filled. Hallelujah. And so, Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, the importance of words, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. It doesn't say that you won't doubt in your head, because Satan can put thoughts in there to cause you to doubt. But when you're confident and you know that you know that you know, you've got that confidence in your heart and there's no doubt, no room for doubt then. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. All right. Mama Bear, Larry's mother, she had whatsoever she said. She spoke life, and she brought him from death to life. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2, Amplified Classic. Descendants of the upright are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His offspring shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. As we turn to section D, 4. Colossians 1:4, Amplified Classic, the leaning of your entire being on Jesus. For we have heard your faith in Christ Jesus, the leaning of the entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones. So, bottom line is, if you are able, tell your mother today that you love and appreciate her. And if you can, tell her every day. Because in the Bible, God's word, he considers every day Mother's Day. And if your mother is as my mother, who's already gone to heaven, then what I do is I tell my angels and I dispatch them to go tell my mom. And we can all do that. But we want to show forth that love of God. We thank God for mothers. We thank God for that love that he imparted into them to show forth and shine forth the love and the glory of God through mothers. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that the love of God is shining forth in your life in a way that you've never seen before, that there's a new perspective of his love and his love shining through mothers and that ferocious mama bear protection. It's so wonderful. And we are so blessed to be invited by our Savior Jesus to partake of his body and his blood. And so let us prepare to partake of communion now. Let's do a USP together. I will lead. Father, I am not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. According to 1 John 1:9. And now, Lord, we come together as one in the Spirit, honoring our Jesus, the love of God, and sending Jesus for us. Oh, how we needed Jesus. We would be so lost without Jesus. But Jesus, you were ready, you were willing, you were available to become one of your creation, to pay the price for us that we could not pay. That's how great your love for us is, because you knew that would involve great sacrifice on your part. But your love for us sustained you and carried you through. And so on the way to the cross was the whipping post. And those 39 stripes that you took upon your body, 39 stripes of that terrible whip which killed many, many men. Many could not survive that long, but you did. You were determined. You were going to pay the price for every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, and every pain that would ever be known to mankind. For you know the end from the beginning, and you knew what was coming yesterday, and you know what's coming tomorrow that we may not know about yet, but it doesn't matter because you paid that price. We just need to know that you did a complete work. You are our Jehovah Rapha. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes we have been healed, and we are the healed of the Lord, and we boldly say so. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, as we now partake together of the broken body of Jesus that we take into our bodies to make our bodies healthy, heal, whole, restored, and rejuvenated. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." And where there is no sin, there's no wages of sin. And a covenant is forever. It's absolute. Your blood sealed the old covenant and purchased the new, better, and everlasting covenant for us. In your love for us, you made all these promises available for us. And because you first loved us, Lord, we love you too. And we thank you for this precious blood as we now partake together of the life and promises that are in this blood. In Jesus' name. Okay, and now we would like to do 20 affirmations of We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, because we includes I. So that means each one of us is included, and yet at the same time, we're all reaching out with the love of God and praying for the rest of ABC and the rest of the body of Christ. Ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We are so grateful to be the healed of the Lord. Awesome it is. Marvelous. Thank you, Jesus.